It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're hearing the stories of two true stories about World War II. And in this story, there are a number of men who come into play, but we're going to focus on just one. Second Street in Silvis, Illinois is only a block and a half long, but over 100 men from that street have served in the U.S. military. Eight of those men died in service, more than from any other street in the country. And the new documentary, Letters Home to Hero Street, tells the story of one of those soldiers. Filmmakers Kelly and Tammy Rundle are here of Fourth Wall Films. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you both for being here today. And tell me when you first learned about Hero Street.
Well, this is embarrassing. And truly it is. I grew up here in the Quad Cities, and I graduated from United Township High School, which includes kids from Silvis. And somehow I grew up here, and we moved away, and I'd never heard about the story of Hero Street. And sadly, as we've talked about it around town here, there's a lot of people in that boat. So we actually learned more about it, after we returned to the Quad Cities, after living in Los Angeles for 18 years.
I did a brief summary of why it's called Hero Street, but give me a little more detail. As I mentioned, it's only a block and a half long. This is not a very big neighborhood.
It's not, and it was settled by Mexican-American immigrants around the time of the Great Depression. These are people who came to work on the railroads during and just following World War I when there was a shortage of manpower. And it was a former dump site, and they made their homes there. And the story of Hero Street in many ways is as much about the street, I think, maybe, and the history behind it, as it is about those eight men who then were lost during World War II in Korea.
The fact that over 100 men from that street have served in the U.S. military that's really mind-boggling to think about. And this is, as you mentioned, so this is World War II through the Korean War, these 100 men, or how long does that history go on?
No, and it's well over 100 now. I don't know the exact figure, but that would include everyone who served, going back to World War II. But more men lost in combat or in service than any other street in the country. So the eight young men, six who died in World War II, and two who died during the Korean conflict.
I would like to add to that it's men and women that serve
right
from Hero Street.
In hearing this story and being moved by this story, why did you decide that you wanted to make a film about it? This is not an easy film to make.
No, and it hasn't been. We've actually been working on the feature-length version of the story, which would tell the story of all eight heroes, for the last 3 years. And it's just been very, very difficult to find funding for it. So we were grateful to partner with WQPT, our PBS station here in the Quad Cities, to produce this short film that had funding from the Illinois Arts Council. So we had to come up with a visually creative documentary, if you will. And we remembered these letters that we'd seen as we visited with some of the siblings of the heroes. And so that's kind of how this current project got started.
Right. Well, you mentioned a visually creative documentary. I mean, you are sharing the story of one man through his letters home, but that's really all you had were the letters, right?
Well, that was the approach we decided to take. What we remembered about the letters is that they were terribly interesting to look at. I mean, I guess maybe that's not for everybody, but for documentary filmmakers, they were terribly interesting because we don't write letters much anymore. And so the letters themselves looked interesting. They were on interesting stationery sometimes. And also there was this business about V-mail or victory mail, and how that worked, and just the process of moving letters in and out of, areas that were where men were in combat. It was an amazing undertaking.
We also had the help of Frank Sandoval's family to help us tell the story. So we had interviewed his brother, Tanilo Sandoval, and met with Frank's nieces, as well as Georgia Herrera, who gave us a lot of information about the family, and they allowed us to use artifacts that belonged to Frank in the film. So we were able to use like a book that he had while he was in service. We used his brother's dog tags as well, and other a knife that he used for sharpening pencils and this kind of thing when he was doing a lot of his writing. So those really added to the authenticity of the experience of filming our actors portraying the family as well as Frank Sandoval.
I'm going to play an excerpt from one of his letters here in a moment. But Tammy, before I do that, you do focus in the film on Frank Sandoval, but tell me a little bit more about his family, because four sons from this family served during World War II.
Yes. It was a large family. There were 10 children. The parents were very close with the children, and of course, three of the sons went off to serve in World War II. That was Joe and Frank. And who was the other one, Kelly?
Well, and there's Tanillo also, who was drafted just after the war ended, so a total of four.
Right. And it was a very, very difficult and emotional time for them, you know, to leave home. And the mother, who is portrayed by Cindy Ramos in the film, was very emotional and very concerned and very worried about the safety of her sons. And that, you know, was multiplied, you know, over and over by so many families on Harrell Street
right.
and throughout the country, you know. So one of the things that we did have in the film as well was the chair that Frank's mother would sit in, and, you know, the letters would be read to her from her daughters. And so we used that chair, and I just, whenever I saw that chair, it was very symbolic for me of the many mothers that sat in that place wondering if their sons were going to come home, if they were going to be safe, you know, and right. when were they coming home. So.
Let's play an excerpt from the film and hear one of these letters.
December 30th, 1942. Dear Sis, received your letter Saturday and was glad to hear from home. Tell Ma not to worry, because it makes it harder for me. Yes, sis, I also miss home very much. But I'm trying to get used to this army life, as it doesn't do any good not to try and get used to it. I didn't have a nice Christmas, as I was thinking of home. Well, did Ma make tamales? What did you get for Christmas? I got a wallet, fountain pen, and I received a card from the Mayor of Silvis. Did Peter Macias join the cavalry? That's what I heard. I haven't had time to listen to Jack Armstrong. Although we have a radio in the day room, which is a room to write and have class, etc. Tell Ma I always try and say some prayers before I go to sleep. Even if it's just Our Father and a Hail Mary.
That's an excerpt from the new documentary, Letters Home to Hero Street. A letter written home by Frank Sandoval. And you talked about the chair that Frank's mother would have sat in and that Frank's sister would have read these letters to her. In the film, you have the woman who's portraying the sister translating the letters into Spanish. Did Frank's mother only speak Spanish?
That's correct. And neither of the parents could read either Spanish or English. So, and as you also noted, probably watching the film, that sometimes Frank would write things that were not really intended for the parents to hear. He did try to shield his mother and father from some of the things that he was going through at times. And other times he was pretty candid about how he was feeling.
Yes, you can show the sister doing some editing as she's sharing the letters with her mother. I can only imagine how stressful that must have been for her as well. And his letters are just so incredibly heartbreaking because he's so unhappy. Were all of his letters, did they all have that tone?
You know, there were about 130 letters that still exist, at least that we had access to. And so they were a fairly full story of his own journey beginning in 1942 when he was drafted until the last letter we had was about a month before he was killed. And that letter seems to, it has the feeling that he feels like he knows he's being deployed somewhere else, somewhere new. And but I wouldn't say they all had that tone. I would say that, you know, we had to edit out a lot of rather ordinary kinds of things.
Sure.
That weren't wouldn't be interesting maybe to the audience, but to me it's still a story of the ordinary things about serving, and sometimes maybe the boredom of it, and sometimes the there were times when he was frustrated because there were things happening back home that he needed to take care of or wanted to take care of, and he couldn't, you know, had trouble doing it. And so I think it's the same kind of thoughts and feelings that anyone who is sort of swept up in this a worldwide conflict, you know, not of their making, and there's nothing they can do about it but just sort of hang on.
Many of the letters that are in the film are from his period of training when he was still in the United States,
yeah,
before he was deployed. Tell me about his active service. Where was he sent?
He initially, when he went through the induction process, he did that in Rockford, Illinois. And that was a camp that later became a German prisoner of war camp after Frank was gone. He went from there to two different camps in California where he trained as an engineer. And that was interesting, I think, for him because there was a large Mexican-American population in Southern California and in California. And so he was exposed to that. He enjoyed a visit to Los Angeles once or twice and did some socializing there.
He sounded very excited about that. And yeah, I think that's something to remember is that there are a lot of young men and young women who have seen a lot of the world and did see a lot of the world that they would never have seen otherwise.
That's true. And when he was finally to be deployed overseas, he boarded a train along with the other members of his company, and they traveled across the country to New York City, actually stopping in the Silvis train yards at the foot of Hero Street. But he wasn't able to leave the train.
He couldn't get off. He just saw people through the window. He saw his father through the window.
He did. And but as he noted, not everybody that he saw him. So he kind of, that was kind of a bittersweet moment.
And he did end up in Burma working on the Lido Road. So just so you have an idea of where he ended up during that journey.
Just a long boat ride and service very, very far away from home.
Yeah. And the letters reflect his loneliness and his longing to be home. And the character of Sis is actually a composite of several of Frank's sisters. Mm. And she is played by Maya Chavez brilliantly. She was wonderful.
Let's hear another moment from the film. This is just a very short excerpt from a letter that he wrote, I believe, from Burma. Let's listen.
May 6th, 1944. Well, sis, how is everything around there? I bet it's starting to get warm already. As for up here, it's starting to get a little rainy, but that doesn't stop the army from doing things. Army don't stop for jungles, rain, mud, or otherwise.
Just a short excerpt from one of his letters.
Yeah.
And that was one of the last letters that he sent home.
Yeah, the last one that we at least have access to is from May, you know, around the 20th of May in 1944, and he was killed in combat then just about a month later, but he seemed to be tying up some loose threads in that letter, and that's the last one that we know of. And there were a couple of letters that were sent by Frank's sisters that came back later that he never received.
Mm. We've mentioned that eight men from this very short street, Hero Street, in Silvis, Illinois, did not return from their service. Two of those men were from Frank's family.
Yeah, Frank and his brother, Joe, were both killed during World War II.
He had the other two brothers that served and one of them was drafted right after the war, so he didn't actually serve in a combat role.
Not in combat, and last year, a couple of years ago, he took his honor flight in memory of his brothers who did serve in combat.
Wow.
There was a third brother who served also during the Korean War and survived, but was killed in a car accident not long after he returned. So a lot of sadness in the Sandoval family.
The documentary premieres this week on the 15th, right, at 6 p.m. at the Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church in Silvis, Illinois. I suspect this is a story that even a lot of people in Silvis aren't intimately familiar with. Will this be new to a lot of people, do you think?
I think so, some. And now in Silvis, they'd be a little more acquainted with it, of course, and there is the Memorial Park, and there's a beautiful monument, so the street is recognized. And the story known, but probably the details of the story, a lot of people don't know.
And then a larger audience will have an opportunity to see the documentary on Friday on WQPT PBS in the Quad Cities, Friday at 7 p.m. And you're working on a feature-length documentary as well. This is a fairly short documentary. It just tells Frank's story, and it's only about 25 minutes long. But you're trying to tell the story of all eight of the men who were lost?
We are, and we're hoping that this short film will create enough interest and excitement to get people motivated to support this larger project. So that's always the trouble for us, is the difficulty, in a sense, or the challenge, is to raise the resources necessary to do the projects that we do.
Have you been spending a lot of time already researching the other seven men?
Yes, we have. We've actually been working on that for about, I think, 2 years, and we have met with a number of the other heroes' family members and have interviewed a number of them. They've shared photographs with us, so we have a good jump on the research. We've also been working with Mark Wilson. He wrote the book Hero Street USA, and he's been a wonderful resource for us. And we really are determined to tell that story about those eight heroes.
Well, we are looking forward to learning more about them in the future. Kelly and Tammy Rundle, thank you both for being here today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Kelly and Tammy Rundle of Fourth Wall Films. The documentary is Letters Home to Hero Street. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.